All right, I'd like to start reading here at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful who? Abraham. So we said that word blessed with faithful Abraham, we said you can, the original said believing Abraham. Now, as we look at this, we have been talking about living in the supernatural. And what we did is we went over to see the scripture that says one thing is needful. Let's go over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading here at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was coming about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So notice what she said here in verse 4. Dost thou not care? And what we said is that God never intended for us to have a care. He intended to care for us. And over in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But be sober and vigilant now, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So the only way you're going to be able to resist the devil is by faith. And things like fear and anxiety and all that, faith is the way you get rid of it. And as you get rid of that and let the word do the work that he has designed the word to do for us, then you'll find that all the struggle, all the toil, and all those things that not only weaken the spirit, but all those things that cause fatigue and stressed out folks and all that'll be gone. God, Jethro warned Moses. He said, Moses, now you're counseling all these people, but what you're about to do is shorten your life, because you can't do that. And what Moses had done is, I believe Moses had picked that up from Egypt, meaning that Egypt had ways of doing things, ways of the world, but they weren't the best ways, that the best ways were in the kingdom of God. So when you're dealing with the kingdom of God, you're dealing with another level of everything, dealing with another level of peace, another level of joy. You're dealing with another level of wisdom, another level of power. You're dealing with another level of, nothing is regular. You don't even buy any regular gas once you're in the kingdom of God. And I just said that. That wasn't in you. Okay, but anyway, you're on a supernatural level. And you're on a level that the word is designed to function on, because the word is designed to give you the best of God. So now, as here, Moses, he said, what you do is you, the spirit that God has on you, you choose several men and have them have these particular properties, the properties of honesty, integrity, and skill, and so forth. And he said, God will have the anointing that's on you to come on them. Now, you see what he just did. They didn't have to go through what Moses went through to get what Moses had. Amen. See, they just got it just by impartation. Say amen to that. Amen. So notice that's living supernaturally. And what has happened in the kingdom is God's people have come in and tried to live intellectually. So what we're saying is that once you come into the kingdom of God, you and I have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. Let's go over there to Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, please. And over in Colossians chapter 1, he talks about that, that you and I are no longer living naturally. We've been taken out of that kingdom of darkness. That kingdom of darkness is Babylon, Babylonian kingdom. Babylon started back in Genesis chapter 10, where Nimrod built the city of Babel, and then they built a tower and tried to build a tower up to heaven in Genesis chapter 11. And notice, these weren't full gospel, Bible-toting, Hammond organ businessmen. These were devil worshipers. And they were trying to build this tower up there, but notice what God said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. It shows you the power that God has placed in people and also the power of our imagination. Now, I'm just saying that because we're going to get on down here and see what we're going to have to start doing something with our thinking. Because if we can get our thinking right, we can get our destinies right. Amen. All right. So here, he said in Colossians, and this is a prayer that I pray for the church many days. He said in verse 9, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, this fruitful in every good work is nothing like doing a lot of things and having a lot of activity and going nowhere. God wants you to be fruitful in this life, wants you to be productive. And then it says increasing in the knowledge of God. A lot of people, they get a truth and they just camp around it. And that's all they know. They don't want to know anything else. They don't think there's anything else to know. But let me tell you, when you get that truth, you have just hit the tip of the iceberg. I can guarantee you that there's so much more truth down in there. And I believe that God has given more revelation today because we have a larger responsibility than any other generation. I think God is going to use us to wrap this thing up. Well, Pastor, how you know that? I said, I think. And look at what it said. Look at verse 11. "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Say amen to that. Amen. It's nothing like seeing folks suffer sad. And every time you see them, "How you doing, brother?" "I'm going through." Well, you better get through. You're getting your head beat in that thing and so forth. Now, my point to you is when Joseph was in prison and thrown and falsely accused in prison, did he lose his joy? Now, as long as you don't lose your joy, Satan can't keep your goods. And you got to keep your joy. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's happening in your house. I don't care what just happened to your pocketbook and your paycheck. You got to keep your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is a powerful spiritual force, folks. And notice what it said, "giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the what? Kingdom of his dear Son." Now, let's look at a couple of things here. One, we are partakers of the saints, of the inheritance of the saints in light. Say light. Light. Two kingdoms, one dark and one light. Two kingdoms, one Babylon, one kingdom of God. Two kingdoms. As you see these kingdoms, understanding that this kingdom of darkness over here has dark principles. The principles of hate. The principle of I'm going to retaliate against you. The principle of lack of integrity and lying. The principle, I'm talking about this way to get ahead now sometimes in that kingdom. But over here, you know, it's who you know over here, you know, and so forth. But over here, the principle of light is love. The Bible says for you to do good to your haters. So if you got some haters, the Bible tells you don't hate back. It says do good to them. Why? Because good overcomes evil. Say amen to that. That, see, it might look like they're getting away with something, but they're not getting away with it because your principle works by faith. I remember one of the leading pastors, if I call his name, you'd know it. He called me and we were talking. I said, yeah, I'm believing by faith. I'm going to get that thing done. He said, you're using faith? I said, yeah. He said, it takes a little longer, doesn't it? I said, yeah, it sure does. Now, sometimes when you take using faith, it's going to take just a little longer. But stay in faith and you'll see deliverance coming in this thing. So it's interesting here, he's saying inheritance in the saints in light. So we went over and we saw what our inheritance was. Now don't leave Colossians chapter 1 because I'm coming right back to that. Over inheritance, we talked about over in Revelation chapter 5. So we looked at Revelation chapter 5 and we saw here what this inheritance looks like. He said in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now we went through some of those strength. We went through, I think we went through also riches or wisdom, whatever it is. But we were showing you that we're talking about another level now. We're not talking about the wisdom of men, because the wisdom of men is making things like medication that you take it, of course. Thank God you got medication, but it causes side effects. You know, it'll tell you right on the bottle. Now, take this and you're guaranteed your kidney will shut down. Your liver won't produce anymore. You'll have heart palpitations the rest of your life and you may go blind. You know, it's hard to take that kind of medication anymore. Well, we don't need to take that anymore. What we need to do is there's one thing that's needful. And if you come over to Proverbs chapter 4, it'll show you what you need. Say amen to this. Amen. And in Proverbs chapter 4, he says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them. And what else? And what? Health. Or in a Cynicolum reference, the one translation is what? Medicine. It says medicine in some people's Bible. So it's medicine to all your what? Flesh. Praise God. So medicine. So this Bible is the Word of God is medicine. It. No, you didn't give me no amen on that. The Word of God is medicine. And what happens is we have not heard that it's medicine. We heard that this over here was medicine and the Word of God is the Word of God. But I'm telling you, one thing is needful. The Word of God is medicine. Look, let me just show y'all something. I showed this to the last group. And I just ran up on it. I'm just running through the Bible and ran up on this. You know how you just run up on something? Let's go and just look at this. This is found over in Job, and Job chapter 33. And you know, it's some good things in Job. Some people, you know, all they know is Job, you know, suffering, Job, this. But there's some promises over in Job. Look what it says in Job chapter 33 and verse 25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. You know, one of the reasons a lot of women use a lot of this face cream is because they're trying to return to the days. Come on, come on. Come on, you better say amen. My point to you, see what you don't know. See, you down there, I saw your eyes rolling. My point to you is this here, folks, this word will do that. The reason why it won't do it for you is because you don't believe it. You better hear what I'm telling you. Let me show you something with your smart self. You go over here. Go over here to 2 Kings and chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. In 2 Kings chapter 5, this is when a man named Naaman, who was a Syrian king, and he was a very prominent man, very, you know, and had high honors and so forth, but he had a problem. He was a leper. His skin was peeling and sores were on it, and it was getting worse probably.
And so what happened is the king, Syria, sent him down to see this man of God named Elisha. So he goes down there in verse 10, let's pick up there. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, tell him to go wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand here and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover this leprosy. Art not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? In other words, if you're going to tell me to go dip somewhere, why don't you tell me to go dip down there, over there, where the water is clean over there? Tell me to go dip in this muddy water. Who do you think he is? And won't even come out. I'm just, can I put this in my own words now? Won't even come out and so forth. So what's blocking his way? Pride is blocking his way. He said, and then I've been washing him. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had said for you to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean? How many of you know God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble? Here's this little servant. He picked up on it. You see, there are people that all they want to do is be seen. And the problem is that your provisions come out of your heart. And if the heart isn't right, the word of his grace won't grow. The word of the king, Lord have mercy, I'm gonna preach that today. See, God knows the heart. How many of you know God doesn't look on the outside? He looks on the heart, brother. That's why some folk can mess up and still get far. And because the heart was right. Other folk, their heart was never right, and they're not messing up and still ain't going nowhere because it comes out of the heart. Your future is in your heart, man. I haven't done everything right, but my heart is right, man. I love God's people. I'm gonna do what I can to get you ahead. I'm not putting this up so I can be seen. I don't care nothing about that. I care about you. I'm trying to get you to the promised land that God gave me assignment to do. That's why this is happening. But it won't happen to people who are trying to exalt themselves in a very slick, sly way. They're trying to be all that. And God ain't hearing that because he's all that. And he's not going to have you take his place. And he knows your heart. You might be able to fool people, but you're not going to fool God. You're not going anywhere. Boy, I had to preach that one right there. Because that was for somebody. That's why ain't nothing happening. All right, let me get back to my subject here. Glory to God. So what happened? Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself how many times? 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a 40-year-old man. Now, that's not what it said, did it? Come on, that's not what it said, did it? See, God's word has the ability to take your flesh back. Come on now. I said, come on, face cream. I'm telling you. Say amen. You can take a little bit of this word and rub it on you every night. Come on now, rub it on you. Wash with the water of the word. One thing is needful. The word of God. Remember, the original technology was a word. Whatever technology will do, the word will do. Come on, I'm talking Revelation now. That's what I'm saying. Job got some revelation. See, each one of these promises is yours. But it doesn't work if you don't believe it. Let's prove that out. Let's go over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, please. I'm still up there in Colossians chapter 1 now. I haven't. That's not my subject today. But I just felt somebody needed that. Because you might be trying to be all that. See, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing happening. See, that when you give and it shall be given to you, that production comes out of your heart. Your heart is a production center for your life as a believer. That kingdom is in your heart. And that thing, if it's got rocks in it, if it's got stones in it, if it's got thorns in it, it's so forth and so on, it ain't clean. And that stuff is trying to produce, but it can't. That's what you have to do. You got to check your heart. The life in the kingdom is a life lived out of your heart. God doesn't look on the outside. The folks messing up today. And God looked on that heart of David. David messed up, boy. You know what I mean? Gideon, he chose Gideon, I think, because of Gideon's heart. Gideon told him, said, wait a minute, now, hey, I've been to fourth grade. He said, come on. David, all David's brothers, when Jesse came by there to anoint somebody, all his brothers was in there, and daddy had to call him in there and say, hey, you know, one of these. Now, David was out there keeping sheep. He wasn't trying to be seen, but the rest of them, they were profiling and styling. Okay, all right. Y'all got me. Come on, we got to finish this. I got to get out of here. All right, this situation where Jesus raised from the dead and came to visit the disciples. Showed up, and he said, peace be unto you. Verse 20, pick up there. And when he had so said, he showed him his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus showed up, when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger in the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not what? I will not believe. But notice he had to feel something first before he believed. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, just walked right through the wall, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, and reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but what? Believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, oh, my Lord and my God. But Jesus said, Thomas, let me tell you something. Can I put it in my own words sometime? I'm not trying to discredit this or be irreverent. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
See, a lot of folk waiting on stuff, and they waiting to see it before they shout. That's not the way faith works. Faith demands that you shout now.
All right. So remember this, anything that can be done with medicine or operations or whatever can be done with the Word. Now what do we have to do is we have to get to the place where we believe. So that's where we're going to go next in the fact that meditation is something that transforms our belief. So we're going to get there and talk about that. But we're not quite there yet because I want to make sure you got a real foundation in this thing. So He says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Are you all still with me so far?
Amen.
All right. Look what he says here. Who has delivered, verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, where are you? I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of who? God's dear Son. That is the kingdom of who? Kingdom of God. All right. So you're in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. You're in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, what Jesus talked about is how that kingdom functions. Let's go over to Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 13. Whew, praise God in heaven. Y'all had me preaching hard there for just a minute. Yeah, I had to break through somebody. Somebody got blessed right there. All right. Now, the enemy is out to steal the word. And we're going to find that over in Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to see that. But let's just look at a couple of things. First, verse 10. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. In other words, mysteries are something beyond natural comprehension. So there's a knowledge superior and more advanced and could enable you to be able to do something that the most knowledgeable people in the world cannot do. All right? Now, I'm not going to read 15 and all that because that's relevant too, but let's go down here to verse 18. Remember, the smartness of Egypt could not deliver them from the famine. The famine that was coming in Egypt, they couldn't be delivered by their own smartness. And we went through that one time about how smart they were. They're the first people that came in with calculus, you know, all kinds of stuff. The Egyptians did it, okay? And that was before the Arabs even got there. All right, look at verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. I'm just going to read this first, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, underline word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, but then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Got it? The word of the kingdom. Say word of the kingdom. All right, the word of the kingdom here is important because this is the word that is responsible for bringing everything that you and I need in this earth. And this, everything we need is in the kingdom. Health care, provisions of food, clothing, and shelter, joy, peace, love, wisdom, protection, even your future is in the kingdom. This Bible tells you everything that you can be or do or have is right in here. You don't need to go anywhere else. It's right here. And the way you get it is by faith. All right. Or activate it is by faith. All right. Done with that. Got that? All right. Now, God put you in the world and put the kingdom in you. So You don't have to rely on the world to meet your needs. That you can live on earth according as it is in heaven. Lord have mercy, I'm trying to say. This word of the kingdom is given to you to produce everything you need independent of your environment. Now you stay with me because this is good for you right now. This is like gold to you right now. Just hold on to it. If you feel like something telling you you need to go or something, ignore it. Because this is it right here. I got to explain it to you. See, a lot of God's people like to hear singing and jumping around, but they don't want to sit down long enough to get some good teaching. Because that's what brought me out. Everything you need is in the kingdom of God. He has given you the word of the kingdom. So this word is to come into your life and grow up in your heart. And as it grows up in your heart, it's designed to destroy everything that has been planted in your heart that the Father never planted. See, some of that stuff is planted in your heart. Just if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 15, just a couple of pages. Matthew chapter 15, and look what it says in verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. This is powerful now. It's not that which goes into your mouth that defiles a man, but it's that which comes out of your mouth, this will defile a man. So it's not collard greens. It's not what you eat that's going to cause destruction, corruption, cause calamity, cause misfortune and so forth in your life, but it's what comes out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth starts with a thought. Now, I'm going to do that in just a minute. Just hold that right there. And remember, Mark chapter 4. I'm going to just hold that right there. Hold it. Look at the next verse. Verse 12. Then cometh his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father, come on, has not planted, keep going, shall be rooted up. So everything, every image that's in you and I, you are not designed to go beyond your image. If your image, whatever is seen has a root. And the root is unseen. Call it an image. So the image is designed for you to have what you are, not what you want. The image that you have inside of you is, Lord have mercy, is causing you to be like God. When God wanted light, where was light before it was in the earth? It was in God. It was the image in God. And it got transported by words. Words are containers holding the substance of the image that is to be presented into the physical atmosphere. This makes you like God. You have the same ability to form an image, and you form that image and then speak it out. And that image will either lead you to, bring to you, or create for you everything you have need of, despite where you are. Say amen to that. See, God didn't need somebody else to do it for him. All he did was get the image and he did it. He was the source, Father. Jesus was the Word, the carrier. The Holy Ghost was the one that manifested. All working together like one. He put the same thing inside of you and he said, decree a thing and it shall be established. Man. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. That's found in Matthew chapter 15 of chapter 12 and verse 35. A good man out of the good deposit brings forth good things. So if I want something in my life, I gotta start saying it. But before you say it, you gotta think it. So look at Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 30. Are y'all with me? It's all yours. And watch this. It's all paid for. It's coming from another kingdom. It's manifesting in the earth. Men gonna see your good works and glorify your Father. Look what it says in verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, what do? Lay your hand on your mouth. So the enemy will try to put pressure on you to think certain things. And then he'll try to get you to voice it. Because when you voice it, you release words. What words? You're going to either release the words of the kingdom of darkness, or you're going to release the words of the kingdom of God's dear Son. Say amen. Amen. So the enemy is trying to build his kingdom through your authority with your words. And what you got to do is say, wait a minute, if this is not the right thought, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. Because I'm about to build something that God don't want built. Amen. Say amen to this. Amen. So Satan has injected words and he's tried to inject them in the church because the people have come in the church from the world but still talking like the world. And so what it has done, it has caused God's people not to go to the destinies that God has planned. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. And your mouth is going to determine where you're going to go. When they were in the wilderness, didn't some of the leaders come back and say, we can't take it? There are giants over there. We're in our own sight like grasshoppers. Didn't they say that? Didn't two of them say this? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Who went in? The ones that said the word of the kingdom. If you say the word of the kingdom, God watches over his word to take you in. Now, I don't care how bad it looks in your life. That's not what you're going to look at. Because it looked bad when the three Hebrews were then taken to a fiery furnace and said, if you don't bow down under this Babylonian pressure, then you're going to be thrown in that furnace. Here's what they said. King, I understand you have authority, but we represent the Most High God. We represent the supreme authority in the universe. And the God that we serve, he will deliver us. So what do people say? Let's go over here to Mark chapter 4 real quick. I know you don't think much about this, some of y'all, but here's the deal. Stay where you at. You don't want to go anywhere, just stay where you are. I ain't gonna drag you. I ain't gonna try to make you go here with your broke self. Listen now. Think about it. Look at what's going on in your life. See where you are in life. See where you are. See what your money is. See what your finance situation is. See what your schooling situation is. See what your marriage situation is. See what your housing situation is. See what your job situation is. See what your love situation is. See what your peace situation is. See what your joy. If you don't have joy like the Bible said, you need the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom will straighten your situation out before Tuesday. Boy, that came out of the spirit. You just can't hear me preach. You got to get a word, not the whole Bible. You can't meditate the whole Bible. I don't think you can. Get a sentence, get a verse, take it and say, wait a minute, that's what I need, because I obviously got a wrong image in here somewhere. I need that thing tore down. So I need the carpenter Jesus to come in with the word of God and dismantle, take out some of that old piping and renovate my mind and make it so that I can walk on into my inheritance. Think about it, is some folk want to stay where they are. They want to go back to Egypt and stay in Egypt. Why would you want to stay in a place where you stressed out every day? Watch this, where you borrowing money trying to make it every day. Come on now, where your raggedy car won't ride. It's smoking all up and down the road. Watch this, you ain't paid your insurance in 6 months. I'm talking about you now. I'm talking about your tuition due. I'm talking about the children need some new pair of shoes. I'm talking about, what that song name? I'm talking about the kids need a new pair of shoes. The baby milk is due, whatever that is. I'm just saying, and if you like that, you need to listen to me. I've been there. I came in with $200, but look what I did. I sold the word of the kingdom and it brought me out. Ain't no use in you going through what you're going through much longer. You need to say, wait a minute, I'm through with that kind of lifestyle. Hey, I'm tired of just getting all this can't hardly get good food, and I got to just go shop where I can't. I'm nothing wrong with that, but you know, 5 blouses for $5 don't last long. You come on, that can't guess, help me. Come on now. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm trying to take you up to where God wants you to be. You are somebody special in the eyes of God. You're made in his image. You're not made in the devil's image. God calls you his child. I remember when I was a little boy, and I remember my mother, I said, she saw me putting on my clothes, a little boy. I still remember it. And I put on clothes, and my underwear had a hole in it. And she said, change those underwear. Let's take those underwear, take them off. I said, well, what? That? I pulled my pants on up, you know, little old boy trying to know everything. And she said, take those jeans off, take those underwear, change them, put these on. I said, Mama, ain't nothing wrong with these. She said, they got a hole in them. I said, there's nothing wrong with that. She said, no, something might happen to you today. And they take you over there to that emergency room and pull your pants down and see that hole in your drawers and say, oh Lord, this Miss Winston's child. You see, God don't want you misrepresenting his family. All right, come on, let me finish this. Now, you can get mad with me if you want to, but watch this. They got mad with Moses when he was trying to take them into the best life they would ever live. They wanted to kill Moses. They wanted to kill the very one who was telling them what the condition is that God has planned for their lives. And sometimes us preachers who come in, if I preach some sad sermon about you got to just hold on and things will get better. And you know Job went through that. And if I did, some people just start crying. Then they'd sing Amazing Grace and so forth. But we don't go nowhere. Folks, we got to go where God is telling us to go. Somebody got to be bold enough to say, look here, this is what the deal is. Sit down, let me just finish this. Man, let me tell you something. I knew a guy that got put in jail, and he was dealing with some drugs. Next thing, he got, and something happened, and the sentence was shortened. And he said, Lord, I'm never going to do that again. Well, don't you know the devil trapped him again? And the judge told him, he said, if you come back in here again, I'm going to throw away the key. And he came before that judge again. That judge gave him 28 years, I think. He got in there and started crying. He said, Lord, you know I'm just this, I tried, I so forth. And then he got a hold to the word. He got a hold to a promise. And he said, I got to get out of jail free card. And he started confessing that promise. He started saying to them, I'll be out in 3 months. And listen, his jail mate told him, stop saying that, man. People think you crazy. And then he starts saying to the judge, he starts saying to the guards and everything, I'll be out in 3 months. Now he's confessing his word. The word of the kingdom. I'm telling you, it'll get you out of jail. And start confessing that. In 3 months, the judge came and said he had a change of mind and did some things and got him, said, now we're going to release you, but we're going to release you over here to this. Can you stay with those people over there and so forth? He said, yes, sir, judge, I can. I mean, came and testified about how he did a 28-month sentence in something like 6 months. Now, my point to you is, I'm not trying to get everybody to get out of jail. I'm saying this. I'm saying whatever's in your life, if you use the word of the kingdom, it's designed to do supernatural things for you. Are y'all with me? I just feel like sometimes, I ain't gonna even say it. All right, let's go to the last part. Mark chapter 4. You at Mark chapter 4?
Yes.
All right, look at verse 20. Flo, who said that? Where is she? Lift your hand up. Who said that? Who said it? Come on, go way over there. Come here. Ain't but one person coming. It ain't two people. It ain't two people. Two people didn't say it. All right. This is the first one. Nobody else come. Okay, she going now. Okay. I got $100 for you. Listen here. Can this help you a little bit? This is the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom was flow. All right. Did I hear somebody over here say that? All right, watch this. Come on, let's go to Mark chapter 4. All right, put it up on the board so I don't have to go up there. Starting at verse 14. The sower soweth the word. All right, next verse. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown where? In their hearts. So the word is sown where? In your hearts. Now, the rest of those verses down to verse 20 are talking about the condition of your heart. Because even though the word is sown there, the word won't produce there. It won't produce if there's stones in there, if there's bitterness in there, come on now, if there's unforgiveness in there, all that, it won't produce. See, you got to clean that heart out. David prayed this prayer, create in me a what?
Clean
heart. Watch this, and renew the right spirit within me. I used to pray it all the time. All right, let's go down to verse 26. We're jumping down now. All right, verse 26, he says, and he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed where? Into the ground. All right, now where is that ground according to, it's in your heart. So the soil is in your heart. Let's call your heart the production center of your life. Got it? All right, next verse. It should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. What? You don't know how. So you don't have to know how that's down there working. The only thing you have to understand is that it does work. That seed is designed to bring you into the promise of God.
Amen.
Next verse. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the what?
Blade.
Keep going. Then the ear. And then the what? Full corn. You'll find that when that seed is growing up, you'll start dreaming about it. Somebody will come to you and say, girl, you know, I dreamed that you had so-and-so and you got a new home or you got... Yes, they will. They'll come up. Now, let me just continue with this. All right, next. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately you put it in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, he's not talking about outside. He's talking about before anything can come outside in your life, it's got to come inside.
Amen.
See? I'm going to work next time about changing your subconscious. Because your subconscious is working 24/7 to bring to pass whatever you believe.
Amen.
And it'll take, that's whatever you believe, it works to bring you there.
Yes.
You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
If in your belief there's an image of being broke on the just before payday, you will find, even if somebody gives you extra money, just before payday, you still be broke. Because this thing it doesn't lie. It's powerful. It worked. The subconscious mind is one of the most powerful things. The will is one of the most powerful things God has ever given anybody.
Amen.
All right, look what it says next. All right, next verse. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? Keep going. It is like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Watch this. Keep going. But when it is sown, it groweth up. Oh, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. Leave it up there on the board, please. When it says that, it means that there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed, the Bible says in 1 Peter, is incorruptible, meaning you can leave it on the shelf for centuries and start using it, and it'll go right up. Got it? There's nothing wrong with the seed. It is not deficient. It is not deficient. There's something wrong with the soil. You can't grow bananas in Alaska. You've got to get your soil right for the seed. That seed is used to the atmosphere of heaven, the atmosphere of the Garden of Eden. It's used to that atmosphere. Okay? And it says, when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater. Just stop right there. Take that down. All right? Now, it groweth up and becometh. All right? So how did this get here? A seed. I'm telling you, Bishop Oyedepo is using this principle. I guarantee you. Because it works and it's designed to do big things.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Say amen to that.
Yes.
And it's things that are impossible, that seem impossible, are nothing but a deception.
Yes.
Got it? With God, come on, all things are possible. Well, God is the Word. It'll bring it to pass. When you start meditating that Word, it'll start moving you around.
Watch this. It'll start bringing folks across your path. You didn't do it. The word is doing the work. So what I did is I just happened to find the paper that we believe God for our home, debt free. And this is the original paper that once we start believing, first the blade. What does a blade mean? Something's going to happen that's going to be evidence that seed is growing. What was that blade? God spoke to me. Spoke to me and said, tell your wife to put down exactly the things she wants in the house. That's a blade. Got it? See, then the ear, then the full cone. You'll see, pretty soon it's time for harvest. And here, once we put it all down, just follow the instructions. That's all you got to do. This is my wife, all the details and so forth. Next thing we know, we were over in England. We just led to sow a seed. Praise God. Let's just sow a seed. We sowed that seed, got back to the United States, got a call from the realtor, said, hey, there was a house being built. And somebody who was building it, they had a death in the family, want to cancel a contract and so forth. Do you want to come look at this house and see if that came, looked at the house and put the sheet up right by the house? Why? Because it comes from the inside out. Watch this. And money began to come. Paid the house off cash. Watch this. At the closing, here's what the realtor said. I don't see why anybody wants to pay a house cash. What was that talking? That's the kingdom of darkness. See, that was the word of the kingdom of darkness. It had put an image inside of them, and they were just talking out of that image. But every image in you that the Father has not planted shall be what? And he rooted out. Did y'all get something out of that today? Give the Lord a hand. Saints of God, let me do this before you leave.